soul, since the Savior made me whole.
Way down, way down,
way down, oh, way down deep in my soul,
my soul.
I'm trusting Jesus every day, for I know I'm on my way.
Way down,
way down,
way down,
way down, yes, way down in my soul.
Down
in my soul,
I'll sing and pray
till Christ
shall come
to take me with him to stay.
To stay,
then I'll be going to that home, evermore from him to roam.
Way down,
way down,
way down,
way down, yes, way down in my soul. Happy, glad new song I'll be singing all along.
Way down,
way down,
way down,
way down, oh, way down deep in my soul,
my soul.
For Jesus saved my soul at last, and I know he'll hold me fast.
Way down,
way down,
way down,
way down, yes, way down in my soul.
A light of heaven I now can see,
for he came and set me free.
Way down,
way down,
way down,
way down, oh, way down deep in my soul.
I know there's glory to behold,
for I feel it in my soul.
Way down,
way down,
way down,
way down, yes, way down in my soul.
Down in
my soul,
I'll sing
and pray
till Christ
shall come to take me with him to stay.
Then
I'll be going to that home, evermore from him to roam.
Way down,
way down, yes, way down in my soul.
Way down,
way down,
way down,
yes, way down in my soul.
Amen.
Way down. Well, open your Bibles tonight to Mark chapter 9. Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 9. We're going to get way down in the Scripture. Amen. I like that, didn't you? Amen, amen. I grew up as a boy down in East Texas, working in the fields with my dad. We'd come home at lunchtime. Back then, that was dinner. We'd have breakfast, and then at noon, we'd come in and have dinner. And then in the evening, we'd have supper. And when we'd come home, while Daddy was washing up, getting ready for dinner, I'd feed the old horses and mules and then come in and wash up and get ready. And it'd just be about 12 o'clock, and Mama would turn the radio on to a station. I don't remember if it was KRLD or WFAA or whatever it was, but from beautiful Bethel Temple overlooking Jefferson Boulevard in Oak Cliff, and for 15 minutes we'd listen to the Stamps Baxter Quartet sing while we would eat our dinner. Then Daddy would get a pillow and go out on the front porch, take a nap, and I'd have to go and water the horses and mules and get ready to go back to the field. So every time I hear a quartet song like that, my mind goes back. And I like it. I enjoy it. It's a blessing. And those are good memories. If you found your Bible in Mark chapter 9, stand with me if you will, and we shall begin to read in verse number 14. Just a few Wednesday nights ago, I preached from this passage of Scripture, and I did not get everything said that I wanted to say, so I've got another sermon that I'm going to preach from it tonight. Beginning to read in verse number 14, the Bible says, "And when he," talking about Jesus, "came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld Jesus, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, 'What question ye with them?' And one of the multitude answered and said, 'Master, I have brought unto thee my son,'" pardon me, "'which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, but they could not. And he answered him and saith, 'O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you, and how long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me.'" He's talking to his disciples now. He's talking to the apostles. He said, "O you faithless generation, how long do I have to put up with this? How long shall I suffer you? Bring the young boy to me." They brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and the boy fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, "How long is it also since this came unto him?" And the father said, "Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief." That's what I want to preach on tonight. Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him." And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could not we cast him out?" And he said unto them, "This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." Now I want us to go back and look at the words of this desperate daddy. His son was possessed with an evil spirit. So bad was it that oft times this evil spirit would throw the young man into a fire, into water, trying to kill him. He wallowed, he foamed at the mouth, he tore himself. He brought him to the disciples, and they tried to cast the spirit out and could not. And the man came to Jesus and said, "Lord, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." You ever been to that place? You ever been to that place with your family, with your marriage, with your job, with your child, that you just cried out to God and said, oh God, if you can do anything, could you help me? Hurting, fearful, desperate, despondent, no place to go, no other help available. God, if thou canst do anything, would you have compassion on us and help us? And Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, oh Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. I want to speak to you on that subject. I believe, but God, would you help my unbelief? Father, use me tonight. Lord, this is a message to Christians, a message to help us grow, help us to learn to trust and depend upon you from the very smallest details of our life to those things that seem impossible. May we understand that with you, nothing is impossible. And if we will simply learn how to believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. God, help me tonight. Give me liberty and power that I might preach. I want to be a help to our people. I want them to go home tonight having grown in grace and understanding of your word and your will. Someone listening to my voice is going to need desperately your help. They're going to face a situation that doctors can't deal with, counselors cannot help with, and there's no hope except God. We're going to come to that place where we cry out, if thou canst do anything, Lord, would you have compassion on us and help us? And you're going to remind us that if we can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Lord, we have some faith, but help our unbelief. Help us to grow in faith and grace and understanding. Help us to grow in trust and dependence. Teach us tonight, speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Faith exercised by the child of God moves God to act in behalf of us in our circumstances. There's absolutely no such thing as a Christian without faith. Now mark that down. Someone said, oh, if I only had faith. You've got faith, why don't you use what you've got? You had enough faith to get saved. God gave you enough faith to get saved. Won't you use it now that you've been saved to help you in your journey and your growth and your walk with God? We are saved by faith. Faith is given to us as a gift of God. And once we're saved, we're told to increase our faith. We're to grow in our faith and our belief as we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord and the Word of God. God's Word tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7, we are to abound in faith. Now, I'm afraid that too many Christians they have just enough faith to get by. Sometimes we don't think we have enough faith to get by, but the truth is we're not using what faith we have, and the faith we have is more than enough to meet our needs if we'd learn to trust God with what we have. God's Word tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, God does not want us to have just enough faith to get saved and just enough faith to get by. He wants us to grow in grace and in faith. And he wants us to get to that place where we abound in faith. That means we have enough faith to take care of our needs and more than enough. More than enough. We abound. We're overflowing in faith. Now, God's Word tells us that without faith, we can't please God. So important is our faith as we live and walk and serve our Savior that God says, whatsoever is not of faith is, finish it, sin. That's right. Faith is simply believing God's word and acting accordingly. Faith is simply believing God's word and acting accordingly. Faith is depending on God. Now, faith is believing God's word. The simplest definition I know of faith is simply believing God's word. Now, why is that important, believing God's word? Someone else said, well, we're to believe God. All right, have you ever met him face to face? No, he's a spirit. How are we going to believe God? Believe his book. Believe his word. When we learn to believe, thus saith the Lord. We learn to believe the verbally inerrant, inspired Word of God. We are exercising faith. Faith is believing God's Word. God is never going to speak to you in an audible voice. Been saved for 53 years, preaching for 43 years, and I've never heard an audible voice from heaven. Now, I've heard a still small voice inside of here and here. But I've never heard an audible voice. But God has spoken to me over and over again from the pages of this book. This is God's word. And if I'm going to live by faith, I've got to learn not only to know the book, but believe what God says in the book. That's the reason we need to be very careful about these other Bibles. Bibles that have done away with hundreds of verses and changed other verses in the Bible. How are we going to live by faith if we don't have the Word of God in its complete form? Living by faith is obeying God's Word. It's not just believing God's Word, but it's obeying God's Word. And may I say to you that we only really believe that part of it we obey, we live by. We say we believe this and don't do it. Well, if I believe God said this, I'd try to do it. And the reason you don't try to do it, you don't believe God said it. Living by faith is believing God's word and obeying God's word. True living faith is belief in God's word that puts us to action, living accordingly, acting accordingly. Now, God does not require perfect faith for us to see and experience the blessings of God in our faith. He does, however, expect us to use what faith we have and desire to increase it. Let me tell you this little story, just so simple. First of all, may I say to you that God does not require perfect faith before He blesses you and helps you. Here was this father with this son. There's not a father or mother with a hurting baby, a sick baby, an incurable baby that does not want help from above. This father came to the Savior, and his faith wasn't perfect faith. He said, but if, he didn't say, you're God and you can do anything. He said, if thou canst do anything. That if shows some doubt there. A question mark. It wasn't perfect faith. But he came to God and said, Lord, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And he didn't have perfect faith. There was an if in front of his request, showing that he didn't know for sure if he could or he would. But he used what faith he had. He used what faith he had. Don't ever expect to have greater faith if you never start out where you are using what faith you have. He said, if. And then I love what Jesus did in verse 23. He took his if and threw it right back at him. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, if thou canst, here's this father saying, if thou canst do anything, will you have compassion on us and help us? And Jesus said, I'm going to teach you something, son. If thou canst believe. The question mark is never with God, folks. The ifs of our life are never with God, they're with us. If we'd just use what faith we have, oh my soul, the blessings, the miracles, the victories we'd enjoy in our life. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And that old daddy hearing that old daddy realizing, here I am putting an if before the omnipotent Son of God. Then he said, Lord, I believe. He said, Lord, I've got some faith. But it's not much. It's not perfect. I believe, but help thou my unbelief. And God said, that's a good place to start. And you know what he did? He healed his son. He experienced this mighty miracle of God because not because he had all the faith, not because he had abounding faith, not because there were no question marks connected to his faith, but he experienced this great miracle because he used what faith he had. And Jesus heard him as he said, Lord, my faith's not perfect. There's a lot of things I don't understand. There's a lot of things that's got question marks. But I believe, and help erase those question marks. Help my unbelief. Give me more faith. Help me to get to the place where I can trust you more and depend on you more. Hey, you know, one of the ways we get more faith is using what faith we have. Some of you young men that want muscular bodies, you have that desire to look like your preacher. Well, you got to exercise the muscles you have. Once you exercise the muscles you have, then you'll build more muscle. Now, you can tell the muscles most of us exercise most, they're table muscles. And sure enough, some of you are going to look just like your preacher in a few years. But you got to exercise to have more muscle. And you've got to exercise what faith you have if you ever want more faith. Why should God give you more faith when you're not using what you got? Look at the honest response of this desperate father. Verse 24, he said, I believe. It's not perfect faith. It's not great faith. It has some question marks about it. Help my unbelief. And the Lord was wondrously healed the boy. He healed him because the father used what faith he had and was honest. He didn't fake it till he made it. He said, I've got some faith, but it's not perfect. I believe, but help my unbelief. Help me to fill in the blanks and to erase the question marks and grow in grace and in faith and trust and dependence on God. Now, for a few minutes, I want to direct your attention to five thoughts that I've drawn from this story. Number one, we all face life situations that call for faith. every one of us have faced, will face, do face life situations that call for faith. Here was a father with a little boy that was controlled by an evil spirit. Doctors couldn't help him. Even the disciples couldn't help him. And he came to Jesus. He was desperate. If God didn't intervene, there was no hope. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in that kind of situation? If you haven't, you will be. I've found myself in that place many, many times. As I was studying over this lesson, I remember when my grandson Kyle was born. His lungs were not fully developed, and he ingested some fluids when he was born. Infection took over his little undeveloped young lungs, and before they got to hold him or kiss him, they took that little baby and put him in a helicopter and air flighted him over to Methodist Hospital in Dallas, which had the best neonatal intensive care unit in our area. I don't remember how many days. I think it's 16, 17, 18, 19, somewhere along in there. He was in that intensive neonatal unit, just barely clinging to life. It was a situation that we could not help. It's a situation we could not fix. It was a situation that called for us to call on God and trust God. I remember standing there with my wife and my daughter and my son-in-law as we looked through that glass at that little old baby struggling for the next breath. And I remember us huddling and praying and asking God to save his life and preserve his life and use his life. Weeping and praying day after day after day. That little baby graduates from Bible college next year. If it hadn't have been for God and his intervention, he'd have never started elementary school. There'd have been a little grave somewhere. But for God's intervention and God's help. Oh my. Have you ever been in that situation? I remember when our little granddaughter Megan was born. She was born with cords wrapped around her neck. She was already turned blue. Having trouble breathing, had to go into the intensive care unit for several days. Nothing you can do. You're held at bay. Worried, fearful. What can you do? Trust God. Cry out to God. Pray. Ask God for His help and His intervention. When you need God, you don't want to have to spend time getting right yourself before He'll hear. Isaiah 59:1-2 says, His ear is not heavy that He cannot hear. His arm is not short that He cannot save. But our sins and our iniquities have caused Him to hide His face from us that He will not hear. When we come to that place of great need, that place where we cannot take care of it, where we must have God. Well, there's the time we've got to have faith. That's the time we've got to use what faith we have. That's the time we need to be right with God so we don't have to spend time getting right and getting ready. Oh, my soul, in that hour, I don't want God to say, I'm not going to hear you, you're backslidden. Just another reason to live right. Just another reason to stay right. Just another reason for us to walk with God day by day, because life, there are situations in life that every Christian's going to need God, and it may come in a moment's notice. We need to be ready to exercise our faith. We need to know we're ready. You never know when you're going to need God. But we can be ready by being right, staying right. Secondly, I want to say to you that Christ promises a challenge to live by faith. Christ's promise here is a challenge for every one of us to live by faith. Listen to what he says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Hey, that's not some first year Bible college student preaching. That's Jesus. That's God. That's the one who can say what he means and back up what he says. Now, did he mean that? Wouldn't that be wonderful if that was true? It is true, isn't it? But we don't claim it. We don't believe it. We don't depend on him. In most of our situations, Jesus is the last person we turn to instead of the first person. If thou believest, all things are possible to him that believeth. Wow! What a promise! What a promise! His promise is a challenge to every Christian to live by faith. It doesn't matter what the problem is. Nothing's impossible to them that believe, he said. You know, when God's, look at that. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. God put a period there, not a question mark. There's no question with God. Don't focus on how big the crisis is. Focus on how big and how able God is to do exactly what he said he'd do, to do above and beyond anything we're able to think or ask. That is our God. And what a promise! A promise that ought to challenge us and encourage us and move us to live by faith. Why, God said it, I believe. You know, average Christian has more confidence in the weather broadcaster than we do in God's Word. And the weatherman's right about half the time. God's right every time. The third thing I want to say quickly is life circumstances cry for an honest confession of our faith. Life's circumstances cry for an honest confession of our faith. This father said, I believe, but it's not much faith. Help my unbelief. That child's hope depended on the faith of this father. It didn't depend on the faith of the son. God said to the daddy, if thou believest, all things are possible to them that believe. That child's hope for the future depended on the faith of his father. By the way, your family's future depends on the faith of the father too. I wonder why my children turned out like they did. How's your faith been, Daddy? How's your faith, Mama? Are you living by faith? Are you put into practice the Word of God? Are you obeying the Word of God? Let me tell you, when your children are in desperate need or your marriage is in a crisis situation, it's no time to live your lie about faith. It's time for an honest confession, an honest evaluation. I believe, but I don't have much faith. Help my unbelief. You're not going to fake it with God till you make it. If you don't live by faith, you're going to fake it and fail. Just like this young couple sat in my office one day and said, "We haven't come to you because we were told by somebody if there's problems in our marriage, just fake it till we make it." Well, they made it all the way to the divorce court. You fake your relationship with one another and it's going to fail. You got to have help. And you try to fake your faith. And you're going to find yourself in a time when you're in a desperate situation and there is help available, but not to you because of your faith that's fake. Help my unbelief. This father said, "Oh, I wish I had more faith. I wish I had perfect faith. I've got some faith. I believe. I don't know if it's enough. I believe thou art God. Help my unbelief." Fourthly, life's crisis ought to bring us to a sincere cry to God for more faith. That's what he was saying when he was saying, "Help my unbelief. Lord, I need more faith." He realized that though he believed God, his faith had some question marks, some ifs connected with it, and he wanted to do something about his faith problem. So he faced it honestly. "I believe, but help my unbelief." He realized that the faith problem was his problem. It wasn't God's problem. God would have given him more faith if it had sought after it. He tells us what to do in order to have more faith. It was his problem. He had not sought or tried to increase his faith. He got saved, and like so many others, they never grow beyond their salvation experience. They never use faith again. They find themselves in a crisis situation when they have God's intervention, need God's intervention. And they've done nothing to increase their faith. It brought him to the place where he cried out to God, acknowledging that he had some faith, but not much faith. "Lord, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief." And then Christians who truly try to live by faith in God and His Word enjoy the conquest of faith. When you learn to live by faith in God and His Word, you're going to enjoy some victories. You're going to enjoy some conquest. The Spirit, look at verse 26, "And the Spirit cried and rent that boy sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, 'He's dead.' But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose." You talk about a conquest of faith. Didn't have perfect faith, but he used what he had. Don't overlook the victories of faith. Let me tell you what you ought to do. You ought to keep a journal of answered prayer. When you pray, and start out when God saved you. First prayer you're ever going to get answered is when you get saved. Start out with that, and then every time God answers prayer, write it in your journal. You say, "Now why? That's foolish." No. Go back and read your journal. Wow, God did this and this and this and this. I believe. Don't overlook the victories of faith. Faith does not always produce the victory exactly like we think it ought to be produced. You know, this man used what faith he had. And the first response of this boy to the command of Jesus wasn't exactly what this daddy thought. Here was this boy with a demon spirit. And Jesus said, come out of him. And that boy collapsed and looked like he was dead. Now, when God works, he doesn't always work exactly the way we think he ought to. But we need to trust God to work out according to his plan and his way. The demon spirit came out and the boy collapsed and everybody else said, he's dead! What's death to Jesus? He reached down, took him by the hand and lifted him up. And he stood up, whole, talking, no longer controlled by that spirit. Now, some of you have your own little ideas and plans. You move out of East Texas, but you don't ever get away from it. You have your own little ideas and your own little plans, and you think God ought to work this way and this way and this way and do everything just a certain way. God don't always choose to do things exactly like we think they ought to be done. But he does them the way he wants them done. And he always does them right. Learn to trust him. Learn to trust him. Learn to depend on him. Learn to believe him. It's God that gives the victory. The boy at first seemed to be dead. God works according to his own will and his own way. God help us to learn to trust him. Don't miss the victory of faith. Start out by using what faith you have. Then grow your faith. Increase your faith. Use your faith until you're abounding in faith. Now let me ask you this tonight, and I'm almost through. How's your faith? How's your faith? If your family depended totally upon your faith, what kind of future do you have to look forward to? How's your faith? Are you a newborn babe just starting out in Christ? Well, if you are, don't despair. You've got faith. You got saved. A miracle took place. The greatest miracle you'll ever know. You were born again. You passed from death unto life. Use that faith. You trusted him with your soul. Now learn to trust him with your life. Is it growing faith? Is it abounding faith? Now listen to me, my dear friend. Faith comes from the source, and the source is God. It's God. Ask him for faith. Ask him for more faith. The disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, increase our faith. It's not a sin to ask God to increase your faith. Faith comes from believing God's word. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So read the Bible, believe it, live it, practice it, walk according to its precepts and its teachings. Increase your faith. Faith comes from hearing God's word. You want to increase your faith? Put yourself in the place where you can be preached to by a Bible-believing preacher from the Bible. Put yourself in the place where you can be challenged to live for God, to deal with sin, to yield yourself to the will of God. I believe, help my unbelief. If we don't use what faith we have, if we never read the Bible and practice what the Bible teaches, if we never put ourselves in the place where we can be preached to and taught from the Word of God, if we never cry out to God and ask Him to increase our faith, then we'll go through our life as a newborn babe, never growing, never maturing, never accomplishing the will of God and the purpose of God for our life. God wants you to use what faith you have. God wants you to have an honest confession of your faith. God wants you to say, I believe, but I need more faith. Help my unbelief. Where are you in your walk of faith? Where are you in trust and dependence on God? You want to know how much faith you have? Look at how much of this Bible you practice. Look at how many promises you claim. Go back and read your prayer journal and see what God has done for you and how He's answered for you. I was thinking back over our ministry. I can never remember asking God for anything that we needed and things that we even wanted in the ministry that God has not provided. Whether it be clothes on our back, a car to drive, tires for the car, a motor home to use in evangelism, money for Christmas. I could go on and on and on and on and then talk about things God has done for my children and my grandchildren and for my life. Answered prayer. How in the world? Why in the world do we go through our life and not use what faith we have? Why would we choose to walk in darkness and uncertainty when we can walk with Christ and enjoy His presence and His blessings and His power? We can see prayers answered. We can see God working for us in our behalf. It's possible. Jesus said it was. If thou believest, all things are possible to him that believe. Father,